sit down just a minute, I'll get your check for you.
Good morning.
I just been keeping house, I wasn't typing, I just, I'm the housekeeper. And you see who the horse.
Yeah.
Horse is, yeah. You got plenty to eat these days?
Well, doing all right. I just got me another hog the other day, fat mouth. I guess, about another month, I'm gonna have to get another beef. We're about to run out of that now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anybody around got any hogs, do you?
No hogs, no.
I want something about 75, 85. Well, 275 and 100 pounds.
You know, I wouldn't know where to get hogs.
I got a pretty nice little one the other day, about 40 pounds. And we'll feed him out, because I've run out of bacon and pork chops and everything. And I got to start buying the store. Can't stand that.
You can't pay a dollar a pound for that old bacon.
Oh.
I'm going to feed this one out a little longer than I fed the last one. No, I didn't, I don't think I got but about 13 pounds of bacon out of the last one. And that doesn't last us for, I guess it lasts us about 2 months.
13 pounds?
Well,
that's right, it's
my 13
pounds.
Oh. Let's see, he dressed out about 125 pounds.
Yeah.
So he'd been, about 175, I guess, somewhere along there.
Let me tell you about Newport Saunders.
Yeah.
But if she was worked and was at a place where she didn't have all the feed, she wouldn't founder.
That's right. It's,
so, and she's good for children.
She's rode right regular. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she's trained for children, adults, too. I mean, she's had a lot of training.
Yeah.
We'll be able to swap her off. You keep us in mind.
Right.
They'll tell you that. I don't know. I think it's, you know, some old plug that, you don't remember Hubert H. Humphrey, that black horse? Old, 30 years old. I wouldn't say I wanted any more of that like that. Hubert H. Humphrey was
exceptional
horse. He lasted 10 years after we got him, you see. And he'd already outlived ordinary expectancy.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, they need that. Now, I want to ask you about this. You get around so much more than I do. I called down to turnip seeds this morning. They had one of those Chivinovas sort of stripped down. And and that's the reason I call. But, while I was talking to him, I thought, now, if he wants to trade for my car, he probably wouldn't want to. But if he did, I could tell him everything about it.
Yeah.
And I can tell him the gas mileage. It gets 15, 16 miles a gallon, and sometimes I think it gets more. But you see, I'm never out of traffic,
right.
So I don't know what it would get.
What it would get on the road.
Yes. Well, I said, now, I'll tell you that, and you can check it out. But now, I'd like to know, if I buy a car from you, I'd like to know what mileage it gets, because that's what I would buy for. And there's no way he can do that.
No.
You can't take a brand new car out and test it.
Well, even the thing about it is, even when you do, your first mileage is not going to be your best. A new car is going to take a little while to break in, and you'll get better mileage later on.
Sure.
I don't mean a whole heck of a lot, but I think when I first started driving that pickup out there, I was getting 13.
Oh.
And now I've got over 100,000 miles on, I'm getting over 15.
Yeah.
But, of course, I may have gotten better than that even somewhere in between.
Yeah.
I'll say this, and I have never had any. I spent, I guess, $25 maybe on that truck, and over 100. I got 107,000 miles on it. Now that lasts most people 10 years.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's been a real good.
Bob says that Chevelle's all right, but you don't want a Vega.
No.
Those little ones.
No, those. You know, when you get down too small. They're just what they are. They're cheap, and you'll end up. My ex-wife got a Vega.
Yeah.
And nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
nothing but trouble, constantly. I mean, it's just cost her more to try to keep it up than the car. I guess that was the biggest loss she's going to take. Now, this car, yours, you talking about trading cars. If you could find somebody to use it, you'd get more money for selling yours and buying the other one, you know, without trading. Because they don't give it. What year is that?
64.
Yeah. I tell you, just they might give you $100, but I doubt it.
Yeah, right.
They were 69 Chevrolet come in a lot the other day. I do work for a lot of these car dealers, do blacksmith work. Most of them got horses. And some of them I know real well. It's one of them, that's all he does is he doesn't retail cars out at all. He buys other dealers' cars and sells them to other dealers. Or he goes to the dealer auction, he buys cars and sells them to dealers. So he knows what wholesale, what a car is worth on the wholesale market. And I know I was in there, it's been about a month ago, but I came in with a 69 Chevrolet. They offered him $300 for it. So that's as high as they wanted to go. So, you take a 64 or anything. Now, your car probably is a lot better than the average, I'll grant you, but they still have a figure that they're not going to go over. I don't care if it looks like it came out of the showroom and runs
eight.
That way. So, I like if you know if you're really thinking about trading. There's a girl down there, and I tell you, they have made me the best offers of anywhere. It was a Dodge place down in Ocala, Pool Gable. Of course, I was talking about different type
of cars. Is
that
Ocala? Pool Gable. They have a Pool Gable there.
No, I don't mean Pool Gable.
It doesn't matter.
I can't remember. Anyway, it was the Ocala Dodge place because I went in and they made me a price on a truck that I wanted and I was thinking about trading for. And it sounded high. Well, it was high. It was a darn expensive truck. It was what I really want all the way around. Except that now with all this gas situation, I'm not going much anyway. I'm not doing that much. At the time, I was looking at a lot of big tracts of land that were, you know, 9,000, 5,000 acres, and you always had bad areas in them that you needed a four-wheel drive to get to and things like that. But they made me an offer of around $5,000. And I told these people, this friend of mine up in Gainesville, about it, he said, they can't sell it that cheap. I said, well, they can, too, because that's what they offered it to me for. He said, well, I tell you, that's a darn fair buy. He said, if I had it used on a lot here, I wouldn't take that price for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they made me some price on a couple of others. I decided to back off the truck. Well, then my wife needs a car. So we thought for a while we'd go ahead and get a truck, smaller, lighter truck, something like what I've got there now. Except I want the club cab Dodge. You know, it's got all that much room behind the seat. So I can carry my tools in the back without putting them back there and getting wet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't realize that. You can do that?
Yeah, it's there's about that much room. See, it's just a little bit bigger cab. You know, you got three kinds of cabs. You got a cab like that. Then the Dodge puts out what they call club cab with about that much room behind the seat.
But can you get to it?
Yeah, yeah. See, fold out. In fact, on each side, coming out from the side, you got two jump seats if you want them, to where two people could sit facing in the middle. There's plenty. There's, I guess, at least that much room between the back of the seat and the cab.
But the easy way to get to it would be to
pull the seat.
Push your seat down.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. And then they got what they call a crew cab, which is a full two-seated cab, four doors. But I just wanted a club cab. And so I started dropping down to a smaller one, and she offered me one for
$3,400. You couldn't hire me to have a pickup truck unless I had some place to put stuff out of the rain.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably just get a cap for that if I can find one around one of these. Saying I will. I sold my big trailer, so I don't need that gooseneck anymore in there. But anyway, every price they have made me down there has been real good. It's been real close. About as close as I think anybody can come. Because I've checked the prices back with other people, with the wholesalers and all, and they've all told me today that is a heck of a price. And
that's goes a Dodge up. Oak Garden.
Right. I can tell you a girl named Linda Barefoot. Just like you go out here without any shoes on.
Never heard of that. I've heard of turnip seed.
I've talked to her. Well, I don't. She's a saleswoman there at the Dodge
uh-huh.
lot.
Oh, she's a saleswoman there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is she?
It's and she's one of the best. She sells, I don't know. But I just, we just backed off all the way for the time being. We got some land.
Does she sell just trucks?
No, she sells cars. In fact, we were doing. I decided to go ahead and let my wife have a new car. Went down, got all the papers, and went to the bank with it. I said, well, let's go over and get it approved. She said, no, I don't want that at all. She just didn't want to make any payments, which I don't blame her, because I don't want to take the money we got that we're trying to, get a place, piece of land.
Yeah.
And
you can't have everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, she's...
Well, why are you such a hurry? We're just going to talk 2 minutes, Faye.
Well.
And here you got a man that's got some knowledge.
That, I tell you, like I say, they have made the best offer, and it's Linda.
Tell her
I sent you down there. I don't know
Barefoot.
Linda Barefoot. And I wouldn't know really myself. I don't know that much about them, but every dealer I've talked to said that's the best price. They didn't think they could sell them that cheap. So evidently they're giving a pretty low price. So I talked to them. And on something like that dark.
Maybe you could get, yeah.
Or,
You could get, get them to talk to about that. One of those light cars.
But as far as going down to that Dodge Colt, which is the same as the Vega and the Pinto, I would say stay away from it.
The Dart's as low as you, and the Chevelle.
Well, yeah, that's as low as I'd go. And a Dodge Dart will get you usually... figure about 18 miles a gallon.
As a 6-cylinder?
You can get them with an 8, I think, but I would get it with a 6. And just don't put a lot of air conditioning and all that junk on it if you really think about mod. I don't like air conditioning, first place.
We can't find the Dodge Dart without air conditioning.
Well, they can sure order one.
What they said in Gainesville was that nobody wanted them without air.
I tell you two reasons I don't want air. One, I don't really think that much about it.
Yeah.
That's three reasons. Two, it runs your cost up so much. And three, every time you got to work on one, I do a little work on my own stuff, minor stuff.
Yeah.
Like changing spark plugs. You start sticking air conditioners and all this in there, you got to take things. It's so much harder to work on to get to.
Yeah.
You load all that engine
pump. They had to
up.
Put a fuel pump in the other day, and it took them a couple hours to get the air conditioning stuff out of the way.
My daughter's got a car that just changing the spark plugs almost take half a day, and then you got to have special tools to do it. You can't get to them. You got to take this compressor off. You got to take this thing off and that thing off.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to practice that engine down before you can even change a set of spark plugs. And then it is the most aggravating thing in the world to work on.
Yeah.
So... I mean, if they don't come but one way, I guess. But I'm sure you can order them.
Oh, you can keep in touch with them. What model is yours? What year?
My Chevy, my pickup?
Yeah.
72.
Well, you don't have any pollution on it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
All the 72s and 73s all have pollutants.
Fell down here at the service station. His truck, we stopped down, we were looking at cows. And he started back up, it was kind of missed. They looked at it. I said, well, here's the line off. He said, no, that's that air polluting line, so leave it off. It don't do very good. But if they would boost up the gas, I'd work on making them more efficient as far as running. You would cut down your air pollution. I mean, just...
Mm-hmm.
It stands to reason, if your gas is more efficient, if you're burning it more efficiently,
you
won't have as much waste coming out.
Yeah.
But now they're not doing that, and they've got so much emission on it. So they put down emission controls, which takes more gas, and just, it's just a
That makes sense.
a vicious cycle.
What kind of heat do you use in the house?
I'm using natural gas, man. Bottle of gas.
With a thing like that?
No,
you got a space heater.
It's a building. It's in the trailer. So
yeah.
It's in the trailer. And,
I'll tell you, this thing here, it wastes the fuel. It doesn't. It goes up the stack or something.
Yeah.
I saw one down at MacDuff's. It is one of those standard heaters, space heaters. Schuyler, or what was it? That little bowl in there had a pipe coming up right in the middle of it, just about like that. And then it had a rim up here, and it started burning down here and got hot and atomized the gas and then burned up around this rim.
Sounds like some English, something put out in England.
Oh, no. It's just standard. It's just a standard digger.
Because the English have got very, very efficient heaters.
Oh, really?
I've seen some of them. I had one time. Oh, they're very efficient. They throw a lot of heat.
Well, what I was thinking about, what I was thinking about is, anything goes wrong with that, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah. That's my trouble with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And that is a little bit more complicated, those valves back there, a little bit more complicated. Now, if you want to go a little higher, they've got those pipes in there that's circulated.
Yeah.
So you get to keep your hot air down there longer, and then a fan, of course, that blows on them. And they run, I priced one, it was around 50,000 BTUs for $250. Well, they don't seem to think $250 is anything anymore. Down here at Shell, old Aaron Miller's stand down there at Ocala, I don't think they start less than $350. And what it amounts to, I don't know, you see, because I don't know about them. But you don't have to worry about that. You've got gas.
Yeah. Well, when I build my house, which I hope will be in the next few months, start building it. I don't know. I think I'm gonna put pipes in the floor. I guess I'll have to pour floor the type of house I'm building. I hope to build. I think I'll put pipes in the floor and build me a fireplace, and put pipes through that fireplace so that the water, when you got your fireplace going, cause a lot of heat goes up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got pipes running up all through there, and your heat is going, you collect more heat through those water pipes and then circulate it through the floor.
Yeah.
And you can keep a house, if you get that floor warm, your house will be warm.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't have to throw a lot of heat into it. It'll stay.
You know, one thing I noticed about, now I'm not mechanical,
I'm going to build a solar heater too. We used to have them when I was a kid. You ever seen one?
Yeah.
Solar water heater? It's a big old you come any size. I think ours used to be about as long from here to the wall over there, about that wide. And you set it up. You'd set it up here, like on an angle like this, facing towards us where the sun would normally be. I mean, it's not very efficient in the morning over here and the evening over here. Or, well, it's fairly efficient in wintertime. But it's copper tubing, run back and forth. And then the whole back surface and the tubing is painted black. And it's glassed over, of course. That's like one. And that heats your water. And I'll tell you what.
You have that.
First place I can remember, we didn't have anything but that. And that water then would flow, just because of the heat pressure, into a tank. That was very well insulated. We would have hot water for just about 3 days if the sun didn't come out at all.
Yeah.
We would still, of course, in those days you kind of conserved a lot of those things. But then if you couple that through an electric heater, you'll always have hot water and use very little electricity.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now, this is something that doesn't cost anything. I mean, it requires no maintenance or no brain at all. One of these things needs to be heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
The metal heats and holds the heat. And you've got light metal, it just cools like that, you see,
yes,
and keeps it burning all the time. Now you take those little red hots, you see, they'll heat up in a jiffy, they'll also cool in a jiffy. And if you get one that's made out of metal, the old cast iron, I suppose, it's a whole different proposition.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
Yeah, I got to go to the bank for it. Before I get loose.
Well, I'll tell you what, thank you for this, Linda Barefoot.
Well, if I tell you what, just do me one favor. I think your car probably pretty good shape, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
If you go to trade with them, give me a call, because I might just buy your car out. I mean, as long as it doesn't cost any more. In fact, I just, of course, what they do, and I laid back when I just got out of high school and wanted to buy my first car. I said, I'll give you, it was an old 36 Chevrolet, I think. 39, something like that. She said, I'll sell it to you for $150. Boy, I was going to jump on it. But then she comes back, she says, no, I'd already traded off. Said they gave me $500-something for it. I said, you know what that was? They didn't give you $150 for it. They didn't give you much anything
for
it.
They've
got a sticker price on that, on the window. But that's about 20% more than what they would take.
Oh, really?
I said, I could have given you $150 for your car, and you'd gone in and paid cash. I bet you you'd have had $75 extra over what you got now. So, I mean, they may offer you $1,000 for it, but I guarantee you, they've done is use that sticker price. Because I went in there, the car list for $5,500 right down there. Well, any of them, they're all the same way. I said, how much can I buy it for cash at 44? About $1,000 off.
Well,
no trade.
This is what Ed says. You say, what can I buy it for cash?
And I mean, then you can say, what do you trade?
Go ahead, you're in a hurry.
You say, what do you trade? Then they say,
we got our business contract.
Okay.
Well, I got to move on. Wait for a dog of mine. I got to go to the bank. Hey, Bill. Well, thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Thank you.
You got a check?
Yeah. Well, we'll check with you.
What's
the best time to call you?
At night.
Sup a little
higher. Something in there. You see, that doesn't work. I guess it's back in there. Let's see what happens. Let's see what it's going to do. Where does it? Ooh. What makes it? Oh, here it is.
Something tight here. You got something too tight. See, that's too tight. There's something. tight than this. It makes it hit something. Yes,
something wrong with that, isn't it?
Yeah. What the heck is this? Is it that one?
Here's one just like it, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah, but see. Why won't that turn in there?
Thank you.
this turn on here? Why won't this one turn in there? You turned it in there once. Let's see you do it again.
That's got a screw on there, hasn't it?
I'm having trouble. I didn't get that on. Might even have a wire burned off down in there somewhere.
Well, it turns all right. This thing has been turning. See, that turns.
Thank you.
easily. Well, we just let it
John sold a lot of those fans down there.
This one he had, and he'd had it down there and run it a whole summer.
Yeah.
And I bought it the next spring. So, it probably had, I didn't use it much after I got it from him. Mr. Eastman, it looks to me like when you're doing work for somebody and you go get some some equipment, of course, the way it used to be at Wins, you didn't pay for it. You just bought it on the account.
You get down to Scotty, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, that's... That's hard on you. I mean, you're not supposed to have to finance the people.
I bought thousands of dollars worth of stuff down there in Scotty's.
Yeah.
Well, I'll pick you up one of them.
Okay.
Screen door is the first time I'm down there.
Oh, I tell you, that paint business, Mr. Eastman, I just dread that.
Yeah.
Once you get into it, it's all right. But I just did it. You know, when everything needs it, if you sort of do a little at a time, maybe a room at a time or a little part at a time, it's all right. But when you just face as much as, oh my.
Oh, I know what that was I done up here. I put them window cords in.
Yeah, it turned out to be a right smart little job. Couldn't get them out or in. Yeah. But they're all right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll be going down some of these days before long, and I'll pick up one of them.
All right. Well, look, Mr. Eastman, when you
that wants to be.
That's the end of Mr. Eastman. He came up here to measure the screen door first of the week, maybe the 14th or 15th of January, 74. And this is the beginning on Channel 2 right off J.R. Mountain. That's not the beginning, it's a part of it. It's a part of it. It's just a part of it. J.R. Mountain on Saturday afternoon, the 19th of September, 74. This is not the complete one. Channel 2 right, and this is the tail end, part of J.R. Mountain's visit this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of January, 74.
PR on him. So whenever I go out there to sit, well, I just go out there and sit for hours at a time. No, I got me a chair. I got one in behind the house, one over there on the west side of the house, and one on the east side, and got two out there in the garage. These old, like them chairs you got out there.
Yeah.
And I sit. I ain't done nothing here lately but sit. I went fishing yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Didn't catch nothing.
Well, God Almighty, if I'd known it, I'd come over and kill a little time.
Yeah, you can come over there and we could talk a little bit.
Well, I might pick up a little something, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We got into you win.
I got him about, I think it was last Saturday. I had the mower out from under my tractor. I got one of these little old giddy tractors. I showed it to you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the mower out.
That was a long body to it.
Yeah, body like hair on it. I took me from 9 o'clock Saturday morning till I think it was 4 or something before I got the thing back under there. In other words, I'd work about 5 minutes on it and had to sit down.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why it is. It just ain't worth 2 cents. Can't do nothing.
Well, now that hospital stuff ain't gonna make you feel any better for a while. Well,
I know it ain't. He told me it'd take a little while to get straight. And he told me, he asked me, he said, how far can you walk without giving up? I said, about 50 yards. I said, 50 yards is the most. But the other day, let's see, last Sunday morning, wife and them, being my boys done got in, and all of us, we went to church last Sunday morning, and I walked up there, but I couldn't walk back. They had to go up in the car and get me. I couldn't walk back to the house, but I had to.
Yeah. And you never thought that would happen to you?
I never thought that would happen. And I say whenever they took the stitches out of my leg, well, that was 3 weeks ago. It's been about 3 weeks ago. They took the stitches out and they told me, said, now you can walk all you want to. And as far as you want to. And that'd be that much better. And I walked exactly 2 days. It put me right back in the bed. Well, in fact, Ben didn't put me in the bed. I stayed in the bed quite a bit, but I would get up and sit down on the couch. And my son-in-law brought me one of them big round leather things, about that big around, about that high. And it was just about that much higher than the couch. And that was just right. And I put my leg up there, and of course, my wife get that long pillow and put it up there. And I just sit there for... Well, I'd sit there from, say, about 8 o'clock in the morning till 12, and then I didn't eat no dinner. The only time I'd eat anything I'd eat supper, and didn't eat much of that. And I haven't eaten nothing to mountain duck here lately. And I weighed 235 pounds when I went in there, in the hospital, and when, in 3 weeks' time, I'm down to 205 now.
That's pretty,
losing, ain't it?
That's going down pretty well.
That's what's called losing in a hurry.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the hospital, they fed me, but that stuff didn't amount to nothing.
Yes.
It turned out to be farts. Yeah.
It
was better. Man, I could let some real angels. And see, now I can't eat no candy. I can't eat no anything's got starch in it.
Hmm.
Eat no potatoes. I need one iced potato a day, or a sweet potato. But it'll have to be boiled. It can't be fried. No fried foods at all. And as good as I like old sow belly and old white bacon, and can't eat a bit of it.
I don't know. It looks like that's the first thing they take you out off of, and mm-hmm. I just don't understand that.
I eat a piece of steak today. I don't know whether it wasn't fried. It was put out there on the grill.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I could even eat it, but I did. Son-in-law and daughter had us over for dinner today and wanted to know if I'd go over at 11 o'clock and build a fire with those charcoal briskets, see? And I'd go over at 11 o'clock and build a fire, and they'd cook them at 12. I said, yeah, I'd go over and do it. So I went over at about 11 o'clock, and I got the thing going good. And then, of course, I was at the house asleep. I sleep more than anybody you ever seen in your life. I can be riding down the road, and I get sleepy. I just pull off on the side of the road and go to sleep. Sleep about 30, 40 minutes.
Is that right?
If I don't, I'll go to sleep on the wheel.
How long has that been?
How long has that been going on? Ever since I've operated on.
Yeah. Oh.
In fact, been for the past week,
yeah.
Week and a half. For the past week and a half, the only time I've been out.
Well, let me tell you, I'm no doctor, but part of that could be that after all this excitement, you just relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't doing anything, so you'd think a fella, if he just was sitting around that and sort of dozing all along, that he'd get tired dozing. But you know what it does, you get sort of relaxed and you can just doze along anytime.
Yeah, anytime you want to.
Yeah.
A lot of time when you don't want to, I'd be sitting out in the yard and doing something to my old tractor or something, and all of a sudden sitting up in that chair, and I'd be asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I slept up there, but it didn't make no difference. I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I did sleep in, it was mostly when I was sitting on that couch.
Yeah.
And I'd have my leg up there, and it wasn't hurting me. Well, then I'd just doze off and go to sleep. Night time, we'd be looking at television, be sitting up there asleep.
Yeah, well, you know, when you was over here, and you kept saying, you know, that you wasn't about to be a monkey up on the house, and I thought that you had hit the ground pretty hard. I thought that you was up on a stepladder somewhere, and maybe the thing
took a notion to go the wrong way.
Took a notion to go the wrong way, and you sort of hit the ground and knocked the breath out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a little heavy, you know, and I figured, well, I didn't figure anything particular.
Well, let me tell you something else happened. In other words, on the same thing. Well, see, I made out of an accident report on June the 29th, about the same thing, and they want to know just exactly how I hit and everything, because I told them, and the best I knew how to tell them, and I had went to that office up there three different times to get in other words, to give you a slip to go to the doctor. Well, the man told me, I told him the first time I went there for a slip. He said, "Mr. Brown, I can't give you no slip." He said, "You're changing doctors in the middle of the stream." I said, "Wait a minute, you're wrong." I said, "That's where you're wrong at." I said, "I asked for Dr. Sam, and I didn't get Dr. Sam." And I said, "That's just exactly who I asked for." And I said, "That doctor that called himself saying that he'd done something to me, he ain't done a thing to me, because I didn't let him." I told him, I said, "Now, if that's the best you can do, I don't need no doctor. I just forget about it." Well, in the meantime, I had, in those 2 weeks' time, I had to wait 3 weeks before I could see Dr. Sam.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Well, I had an appointment with Dr. Sam, and it took 3 weeks to get get the appointment finished, see? All right. That's one time that he refused me of giving me a slip to go to the doctor. All right, and about, week or 2 weeks, I went in there again. And I said, about to get another slip. I said, I'm going to Dr. Kassam. He's checking up on me to see what's the matter with me. And he said, well, Mr. Mountain, I'm very sorry, but we can't give you no slip on that. And says, Mr. Burleson said that he wasn't paying any more bills. He done paid one for $63. I said, $63 for what? I said, that doctor didn't do nothing to me. And I said, that name on that slip you got right there, that paper, that doctor, I ain't never seen that doctor. And I ain't never heard of that doctor's name before in my life. And his name was Bashir or something like that. It wasn't exactly Bashir. It was a peculiar name, but it sounded like that. But he was a Chinese. And I says, I told him right to his face, I said, you ain't gonna do nothing to me. But before, when that first, Nora had fell off the ladder herself, and she thought she'd broke her knee. Well, it was swollen up, and so me and her both went in at the same time. I thought maybe that if I went to the emergency room, I could get Dr. Sam right quick back, and I wouldn't have to wait that other week to get my appointment. So me and her both went in there, and we had x-rays made, and my x-ray said wasn't nothing wrong with it. And Noah's x-ray said her knee was broke. But they had, now you take J.R. Mountain Jr. and J.R. Mountain. Didn't say Mrs. J.R. Mountain. It just Mrs. Nolan Mountain or nothing like that. It just had J.R. Mountain, J.R. Mountain Jr. See, all right. They got my x-rays mixed up with hers. Her knee wasn't broken. It was just sprained. I'm the one that had the broken knee. And see, I went for that time that we went in at 2 weeks after the 29th, see, of June. That's when them x-rays showed that I had a broken knee. Something was broke about it. Well, Dr. Kassam got them prints and everything, them pictures. And he seen in that picture that one, there was something wrong with one of my legs. But the picture didn't say which leg. Well, they x-rayed both my legs. And in fact, the business, every time that machine, when that woman pushed over and got it right over me, and that thing was about that far from my leg, and I know good and well when I'm looking at something, I can tell where it's going to move or not. But whenever she would turn that machine loose, that thing moved about that much. It moved at least that much. Well, that thing wasn't shining. See, they got a cross mark in there. That they put it right on top of you. Say, for instance, this spoon right here. That place right there would be your knee. All right? That thing's supposed to be right over it. But the very minute she turned that thing loose, that rotten thing done like that, and it wasn't even on that place at all.
And you noticed that?
And I noticed it. And I told Dr. Kassam, excuse me. I told Dr. Sam, I said, every time she would x-ray me up there, I said, that rotten thing up there moved about 2 inches. He said, I don't see how it could do it. I said, well, it did. And somehow or another, that he had the x-ray machine then from Miami or Jacksonville or somewhere, and they did find out that that thing was moving. In other words, there's a lot of people that went in there that was x-rayed. They didn't pay no attention to that thing moving. But I did.
And they got the wrong, x-rayed the wrong spot.
That's right, they x-rayed the wrong spot. And whenever they x-rayed me up here on my shoulder, where do you think they x-rayed me at? Way over here. In other words, the picture, the edge of the picture was right about my shoulder here. because Dr. Sam told me about it. And he said, now you just keep quiet about this thing, about what happened. He says, whenever all this is over with, said, you just file suit. It's Lottery General Hospital. Says, I'll stand up by you. So you know, you can't tell that bunch over there nothing. Sidney Martin, he's another one. You can't tell him nothing. He knows it all.
Sam said that?
That's what Dr. Sam said. That's one man want to get him out of there. Him and two, three more that's in there. They just running that thing just like they want to run. And also, when I went there to say the third time, that guy at the fellow by the name of Thomas at the office for another slip to go to the doctor. He said, well, so this makes the third time you've been here, and you ain't gonna get no slip. I said, well, Doc, Mr. Thomas, I said, I tell you what I come here for this time. I come here for a slip, and also I'm gonna get it. I said, I may not get it right this minute, but I said, I'll get it for Tuesday morning. If you've got anything you want to bet on it, just throw it down on the table. I said, I'm going to be operated on. I'm going to be operated on next Friday. And I said, you're going to pay for it. And you're going to be glad to pay for it. And I said, I know stuff on you that just won't wait. I said, I'll put you clean out of this office. And anybody else that's in here, I'll put them out right along with it. And what I done, I went to the big boy. And the biggest one up there is Brown.
Oh, is he?
Yes, I went down and told him. I told him what the inspector, the DOT safety man was supposed to have done to that truck that I fell out of. It's supposed to have been done over 6 months ago. And it ain't done right now. I said, I'll bet you can go out there and look at it. And I'll bet you that safety strip they're supposed to be on them running boards, ain't on there. And I said, it's supposed to have a big light up on top of it that turns around so when we're out working in the middle of the road somewhere that people can know that something going on down there where we working at. I said, it ain't on there. But I said, anytime one of those other trucks around there want one of them things, they got them. But anytime any truck that belongs to me has got to have one, I said, it ain't on there. And I said, the brakes don't work right on the truck, the motor don't run right, nothing don't work right.
And here you're a mechanic, as if you didn't know anything any better.
And see, I ain't supposed to mess with it. I ain't supposed to work on a rotten old truck. I said, I can fix the thing. I said, here I am a mechanic, a first class one. I said, I've done forgot more than some of them guys will ever learn. And I said, I ain't gonna take nothing off of y'all. So I went out on the road. I had a little work that had to be done out on the Orange Heights Road. And first thing I know, here come Mr. Brown. But he was going the opposite, going the same way I was going. And of course, when he got right in front of me, well, I just pulled the lights and blinked them back in two and stopped him. Of course, he knew I was in a DOT truck. And he stopped and I pulled off on the side of the road. And I put on my blinkers to be blinking while I was talking to him, and I said, there's another thing. I said, there, that truck's supposed to have blinkers on it working. I said, they don't work either. Bites, ain't got no lights on it either. Ain't got nothing on it. And he said, I told him all about them 3 times that I went in there to get a slip to go to the doctor. And I said, Mr. Brown, I'm in bad shape. I said, I don't know whether I can make it through today or not. I said, I hurt. And I says, from that fall that I had. And he says, well, Mr. Mountain, I tell you what you do. He said, in the morning, that was on a Thursday, he said, in the morning, say, you come to the office. And I'll see that you get a slip. And I went in there the next morning, that was on Friday. And you know that guy didn't come to work? No, sir. Some of them told me around that he was out sick. He was sick. I said, he going to be sick on that when I get through with him. I said, he going to be sick on that when I get through with him. And so the following Monday, well, see, I was supposed to go in the hospital on Tuesday. But Monday, they sent out there on the road and got me. And gave me a relief man. And brought me into the office. I signed up all these papers and everything to go in the hospital to be operated on. And that guy, when I walked in, they shook my hand. I said to myself, you turned over a new leaf, didn't you? I said, the big boy must got a hold of you. I'll never find out what happened. There's something sure happened right there, and I ain't joking. In other words, they've been doing everybody that way.
Oh, have they?
Yes, sir. There's a man on the job out there, and today is Saturday. He can't be working today. But he's worked. He fell off of a truck out there and broke his arm here and there and right there.
Three places.
And you know, he ain't missed a day. And that arm is hurting him so bad, he don't know what in the world to do. And I told a man, well, yesterday, it was Thursday. I told him, I said, that man is crazy to go back to the job and go to work. I don't care if he's got a dozen pins in his arm. If that thing is bothering him, that's what workman compensation is for. Now, but here's something else. I found this out, that he wasn't on the job when that happened.
Yeah.
So when 8 o'clock comes, you are on the job. But at 6:30 in the morning, you are not on the job. But it happened there on the place. He was tussling with a fella up in the back of a truck with a steel bed in it. And he fell off of that truck and hit on the corner of the body somehow or another and broke his arm all to pieces. And they rushed him to the hospital. And see, they got into the hospital before 8 o'clock. But his hospital bill and everything being paid by workman compensation. Now you see that? They don't, I don't guess they think I know that, but I know it. I found it out. And you take here something else. I ain't supposed to. Say, for instance, I had 8 or 10 prisoners on my truck, and I was taking them out working them. And I brought them over here at your field, and you had, 25 rows of corn you wanted gathered. And you was going to give me that corn to gather. Did you know I can't bring them men in here and they go out there and gather that corn if you are going to give it to me? Did you know I couldn't do that?
No.
That's private property.
Oh, yeah.
See that? Yeah. You ain't supposed to carry them men on private property.
Yeah.
Well, I think about this same thing here is that this big shot, Brown, he knows that I know that men out at that camp has been carried on private property and worked. Because there's a pond out there on Noonan's Lake that's supposed to be private property. Belongs to Sid Robertson. You may know it. But he had a pond out there that he didn't give it to the state. He gave it to Mr. Brown. He gave the pond to Mr. Brown, see? All right, they called it the sod field. Well, it was about 4 acres. 4 acres of pond. It was about 4 acres. And it had a little bit on one side of it, no grass in there. And that grass wouldn't stick together if they had to. You cut it for sod. And, of course, we went out there and got sod. It's supposed to be sod. And when you take that machine and cut the sod about that wide and strips about that long, then when you go to get it up, it all falls pieces. Well, what good is sod like that? It ain't worth 2 cents. If it don't stay together, you ain't no use messing with it. And he had those prisoners. Instead of him putting a job order, we worked by a job order, all right? Say, for instance, that the job order was 25-36, all right, on this here sod field. Well, that sod field had a number, and it wasn't under It was sod feel all right, but it was I-75. Rest area. That's what number they were using. And they called that the sod field. It wasn't the most sodden I am. And see, he knew that I knew that, see. That them prisoners didn't have no business out there. Them prisoners didn't even want to go out there. And they refused to go out there. But somehow or another, there was two men carried them out there anyhow. And they dug up stumps and they cut down trees and they done everything imaginable around that pond. Mm-hmm. Of course, the water wasn't up. They done drained the pond. And of course, they went in there with chainsaws and cut them trees down and toted them thing, old logs out of there and snaked them out somehow or another. Now, the pond is all clear of mud and everything. He goes out there and he plants San Augustine grass all the way around the pond.
Sprigs it.
Yeah, I mean, fixed it up first class. Now, he claimed he had a 20-year lease on it. But I'll bet you in the next 6 months, three to six months, he'll give it back to Sid Robinson. Sure he will. And all that fence and everything that went around that place belonged to the state. There was 400 posts disappeared in midair. Nobody knows who got them. Well, I know who got them. And there was 24 rows of barbed wire that just walked off. It's right out there at that sod field. It went around that pond. The posts, the wire and everything, where it went around the pond. Because I went out there and put up I call it a dead nigger. Well, you got a post there that you don't want it to move. And it's in the corner. Like, say, there's a fence comes this way to that post. The fence goes this way. See, and you fix that post where it can't move neither way. A lot of them said to me, we done put wire on that post, and that post just won't stay in the ground. I says, I'll bet you $1,000. I'll make it stay in the ground, and I guarantee you, a bulldozer couldn't get it up. A man sent me out there, and I think it was 6 prisoners, and went out there and put that post down about 2 feet deeper than they had it, in which we got another post that was long enough. And then I put me a, say, that this is that post. Well, I had the fence went this way, and then it come this way, see?
Right in the corner.
Yeah, and what I done over here was I put me a post down, and I put it down pretty deep. And I run me a wire from up here to the bottom of this one, and from this one here down to that and there. And then I took me a winder right in the middle, and I wound it up just so tight. All right, I done the same thing over here on this one here. And run the wires back and to, and it was showing up wire too, because it took all we could do to get it on the post. And also up at the top of the post, back in about that much of the end of the top, we put staples all the way around it, but it couldn't get it loose. And also cut a little ditch down in it about that deep. And when I got through with that thing, it wasn't nothing could move that post. And they run into it with trucks. They vent fenders all up or run into it, and that post still standing there. The man said to me, he said, I didn't know you could do that. I thought I'd do anything. I don't care what it is. I call it a dead nigger.
What you call it a dead nigger for?
That's what we've always called it.
Why do they call it a dead nigger?
Because he can't move after you bury him. I remember way back yonder when them old settlements, settled guys would tell me how to put down a dead nigger.
Yeah.
And they'd tell me, see, you see that post right yonder? I said, yeah. See how that fence comes up there to it? I said, yeah. He said, you couldn't move that post if you had to.
Yeah.
So them wires have got it. See, that wire that's coming down yonder, going up to the top, and that wire from up yonder going down yonder,
Yeah.
One of them's holding it down, the other one's holding it up.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in the world for the thing to move.
Yeah. And then you got the fence holding them posts.
Yeah, the fence is holding the post. And, two, three of them come out there and looked at it and said, I'll bet that post will be up in a week's time. I said, if it comes up, I'll eat it. And I ain't got a tooth in my head. I know I'll have a good time eating it. And they're still there.
You never messed around with out there farming and things like that. Fencing, how'd you ever get into that? Yeah.
You mean how did I know how to do that?
Yeah.
I used to work for Camp Lumber Company.
Well,
I used to work for that camp that used to own Payne's Prairie.
Yeah.
All that, a lot of that fence out there goes all the way across Payne's Prairie. I helped put it up.
That
yeah, man, I put up a many mile of fence.
And part of that was in the was
in water.
In the water.
I made a rig out of a pitcher pump to put them posts down with. You can take an old pitcher pump and take your put your a good brace around your pipe and have it on the post. And when you shove the post down where you want it at. Well, you just prime the old bump and go to pumping. That old post go right on down there. See, whenever your pipe that comes out of your pump will come down just so far and it'll curve and go over to the post and right down inside the post. And see, you got to have your clamps fixed so that you can reach down and unplug, undo them. You ain't got time to just wait all day of getting the clamp off. Just make you a boat go through it like that with a wing nut on it. And when you get ready, got your post down as far as you want it, and you just back off on the ring nut, pull the thing right off it.
I'd have to see that.
I made a manual. And you can take an old pitcher pump, and you can prime that thing, and you can pump water, and you'd be pumping mud all at the same time. Every once in a while, you got to take two bolts off on each side, which is the bolts come up in a thing like that, and you just loosen them a little bit, and the whole business comes apart to get the where that.
And that way, you just start pumping that pitcher pump, and it pulls the water and the mud
out. Mud out, and the post goes on down.
The post goes on down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, where in the world, who ever thought that up?
I think there's an old man by the name of Little. His name was Little, and he lived down there just this side of Nigger Schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Seemed like me that he's the one that told me about that and then told me how to build it and everything. I built it.
Yeah.
You take back when I was 20 years old, let's say 18, 19, 20, till I was 27 years old, I done a little bit of everything. I have flown an airplane. I believe I can fly one right now.
So over there at camps, they didn't show you how to use that pitch pump.
No.
You knew that already.
I knew that already. In other words, I told camp, I says, I can make something to put them posts down in that water.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't care how big the post is. I says, I can put it down right on. And I put down some for, you take when a long time ago, this fella Whiting was in the beach business of pumping that white sand out of the pond, way out in the pond, and pumping it up on the bank. Well, we first started off with the old pitcher pump things. In other words, they like put down a post in white sand, and you could auger down there, but that didn't do no good, because the faster you augered down it, fell, it went right back in there.
Yeah.
And when I worked for Bohanna, I put a dock up. It had about 100 light poles on the dock. Put them down with the same identical thing, old pitcher pump. But you take a say electric pump, it electrocutes you out in that water.
Yeah.
And a gasoline engine, it'll be done fell in the pond by the time you get ready to run a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I come out here See if I could borrow your tractor.
It's over. I don't know what happened to it. I kept thinking you'd be over here, and it just fell apart. Everything's wrong with it. I couldn't even crank it.
Couldn't crank it.
No, and so I got him to. He had to come over here and haul it over there to the over there to the garage service station.
Where's that at?
Over there, it is.
It is Shell over here.
Yeah.
Reckon they found out what's ailing?
Well, you never know just when they're going to get to it. I don't think it's anything serious. It just needs timing.
Mm-hmm.
And that little thing was out of the sediment, Bob. I don't know whether it needed tightening or whether it just started leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't work on those things. And then down there I tried to drain the radiator during one of them cold spells. And I kept feeling under there. I'd done it many a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad burned, you know, it's got a little lip on it, where you turn it.
Mm-hmm.
And that burned, what is it, turn? I don't know what happened to it.
Well, what it is, it's got a little old thing about that long, and when you get a hold to it, in the middle here, it's kind of soldered on there.
Yeah.
And you just turn it, and it just turned, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't let out no water either.
I know, it's all gone. I couldn't turn it.
You mean it done eat all?
I guess so. But I tell you what happened, I let this colored fella use it up there to put in some peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd hurry over here, always late, and he'd just rig it up with some old plows and go up there, and he didn't even get them on there.
Like it's supposed to be.
Like it's supposed to be. And I didn't think, well, what he's doing up there, he could hurt anything. But you know them fellas, they're not used to maintaining any machine.
No, they don't give a hoot about it. Just sort of go.
They don't care.
Wasn't old Burnett Patterson.
Oh, no. No. This was...
Don't let him have nothing.
Oh,
boy, that bunch will tear up everything you let them have.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I've seen Burnett.
He tear up his own.
Yes.
And I've seen him go down the road with that old tractor here, just a-busting the road wide open.
Yes. With old tires, it's just slick.
I don't see how in the world the plows anything with them as slick as they are.
Well, I'll tell you how. He plows these fields where it's all sand.
All sand.
If he gets into a field where there's some clay or there's something besides sand,
mm-hmm.
he slows him up.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a little bit dry, it just sows his plow out of the ground. That's
mm-hmm.
the way he goes.
Well, has your tractor been used to jumping out of time or not?
Oh, no. No. Oh, every now and then you have to check points.
Sure you do. And might not be a thing in the world wrong with it.
Just checking.
Points might be just stuck.
That's all. That's
what
all.
Kind of tractor is that?
It's a little Ford, about 1952.
Ford.
V8, 8N.
8N.
Yeah.
I imagine them points would be the same, identical same thing as a Ford. Like a Ford automobile. Ain't one way to find out, let's look at them.
That's all.
And I got any kind of point you want to look at.
Yeah.
I got the strip, that's a 6 or a 4?
It's a 4.
4. I got a distributor cap for a 4. And rotaries. Wires, just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You mind if I go up there and look at it?
No, no.
And see what he's going to do to it?
No.
And if he says he ain't going to do nothing to it, well, I said, well, I'll just come up here and come down and get you, and we'll go up there and get it.
Oh, you can. Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Not between me and my son-in-law, we'll fix it.
How close he lived to you?
My son-in-law?
Yeah.
About 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in that old home place.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. We just sent something out. Yeah, let me.
I kept thinking you'd turn up. You know, you said it'd be 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been 3 or 4 weeks, all right.
Yeah, but I ain't been able to go nowhere.
I haven't been off the place.
And if I get it, I ain't gonna let Bobby or him or nobody else drive it. I'm gonna do the driving myself.
Well, you know, I have bad experience with machinery. Now let me tell you what happens to me. This fella up here, oh, he's gone now, he's moved. He's up there where Phil Patterson lived. He bought that place from Patterson, the big place.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Jim, he worked on that big, trailer place down there. He was going to use my tractor, and what he done is turn it over to his boy. He didn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And his boy was as rough with machinery as anybody I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. He'd try to tear it up.
He'd tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
And how he could be so damn rough with it is far more than I know. Well, now, that's the experience I have.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I didn't know, Jim, you talk about, you know, you just never know how many people can just tear up.
They can just, the dadgum, so tear it up.
Yes,
they can.
And you don't even know it.
Don't even know who they are, who you let use it, thinking they're going to take care of something.
Well, you know, you think that they'd know if some little something went wrong with it, that they'd tell you.
That's right.
And they don't, and they just let it just go
they
on.
Let it go right on.
Until it runs, and then they bring mm-hmm. it back and don't say a word.
Don't say nothing.
Bring it back out of the passion, don't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to start it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful, J.R.
I know it is. People just don't care.
I wonder if they like that about their own stuff.
I imagine they are. Run it till it won't run. I know people that just run something till it won't run. Now you take, I ain't throwing off on my boy. He just got back from England. Been
yeah.
here a month now. All right. I let him use my truck out there.
Yeah.
And I told him when he first got it. I said, Bobby, I said, you can use my truck. I can't drive it. And if you want to use it to go over to your mom-in-law's house back over at Horseshoe, and that's 85 miles. I said, what I want you to do with it, the first thing, I said, I want you to keep that gas tank full of gas all the time. Don't never let it get past half full. I want you to take that truck and have it greased, the first thing. And I want, and you can have it oil changed. I said, I'll pay for it. You ain't got to pay for the grease job or the oil change. I'll take care of that myself. And I said, I want you to take care of that truck. And whenever I got home and got to riding with him, I said to him, I said, Bobby, what's the matter? You can't push that clutch down? I said, push it all the way to the floor. Then put it in gear. I said, this here business, when you run up to a place, ram it in second, and don't even push down the clutch and go to putting on brakes. I said, that's wrong. Don't do my stuff that way. Do your stuff that way. And day before yesterday, I asked him, I said, did you have this truck greased? Did you have the oil changed? Nope. I said, what good does it do me to let you have that truck? I says, you ain't even washed it. You ain't even swept out the flow in it. You ain't done nothing to it. And they've been hauling trash with it. And the tires only had 28 or 32 pounds of air in it. And I said, whenever you get ready to haul in the trash with it over at that place we were cleaning up, I said, put 35 pounds or maybe 40 pounds of air in them rear tires, where they'll hold that truck up. He ain't put a drop of air in the tires. And so I was hauling off a load over there for him one morning, and I noticed the tires looked like me, just about flat. And I asked him right then, I said, how much air have you put in these tires? I ain't put no air at all, and it looked like it's standing up good to me. I said, look how much we got on this thing already. And them tires look like me, they're flat. I says, and any more trash be hauled, I'll haul it myself. You load it on, I'll haul it. And this morning, I told my wife, I said, Bobby, he ain't had it washed none. I said, I think I'll get out and wash it myself. I got out there this morning. It took me just about 15 minutes, and I washed it. Of course, I ain't cleaned out inside the back body. But, I told my wife, I said, now look at it. Don't it look good? And when I got it washed, there was places on it there that, I don't know what it is on the fender. It was all scratched up. And I asked him, I says, where have you had my truck? Ain't you had it out in the woods? I said, you know that truck ain't supposed to go out in the woods. And I said, it won't never go out in the woods no more. Because I said, you ain't going to drive it no more.
And that's your own boy.
Yes, sir. I said, now you got your car out there, and you drive your car in the woods all you want to. And you see, he just brought that car from England, and you take over in England, the lights on them cars over there are shining right down on the ground. That's the only way you can drive a car over there. They don't shine out on the way you can see where you're going. You can't run over 40 miles an hour over there, because the roads are so rough. Even them big highways they got up there, he told me they're as rough as all get out. It's just like going down a railroad track, boop, 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 your car just shaking. I said, now, you just mistreated my truck. I said, I don't like the way that it's skinned up on places on it. Looked like me went out in a oak thicket or something. It's all scratched down the side. And just like before he even went over there, I let him have my red and white Chevrolet, and he come back with a great big old scratch from the front end of it all the way to the back. Him and old Jerome Pizza says, oh, says, a little bit of polish will take that off. I said, well, here's a can of polish. Get after it. They scrubbed on the half a day. They ain't got that scratch off it yet. They ain't gonna never get it off. In other words, when you run through a barbed wire fence, something's got to happen. But I believe in, if I use anything that belongs to anybody else, I believe in taking care of it. I don't believe
old,
in it.
Old Willie Chitty was going to make hay with me one time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this wasn't really his fault, because he'd had that operation up there. He'd had had to cut on his lip, and they'd put a little plastic or something in there, and it was hot weather, and it run him sort of crazy. And he got his brother to come over and work with him. We're going to mow that place out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was used to working for those people out there.
Zetrauer,
yeah.
He's working for him now?
Yeah, he works for him now. And he got that drag type of mower.
Mm-hmm.
And Zetrauer sets it for him and does everything. All he got to do is get up there and away she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ground is level, you see, that mower just mows it level.
Make it level where it is or not.
Yeah. Well, mine is a lift mower.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of keep my hand on it. I'm sort of used to it, you know. I don't have to look back. I can just tell them to listen to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
how you get, whether or not it's mowing the ground, leveling the ground,
mm-hmm.
or cutting the grass. You know what? That bastard wouldn't even use that lift.
He didn't know what it was for.
I don't guess so. And you know what he was doing? I looked out there, and he was going around there, and the dust was
just flying.
The whole thing was sitting right down there on the ground, you see, and he was mowing the ground.
Eating up the blades.
Well, eating up the blades, and he got the you know where the slip plate is, the plates.
Mm-hmm.
He burnt them out. Of course, they it's...
What's yours, a mutt more? Is yours round and got fingers on it? Does yours go around this way?
It's a John Deere.
John Deere.
Uh-huh. It's very simple. It's not much trouble. You can't hardly hurt it. So I put the new plate in it and all. But now that's the luck I have when
mm-hmm.
people use my
use
my
quick.
Stuff. Yeah. They always talk about bringing it back better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an old saying. I'm